Well, again, it's great to be with you. And when I was asked to preach on Friday, I seriously thought, oh, I'll just brush off an old sermon. And well, guess what? I've never preached on this text before, of course. So here goes. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, I remember a Christmas several years ago when my brother, sister, and I were all married for just a few years, and my dad posed a question for the family as we sat around the table on Christmas Day. That question was something like, "What are you most grateful for this past year?" A simple question. We went around the table, each of us responding to it. And I remember my dad's response as if it was yesterday. As he spoke, he got kind of emotional, and he said, "I'm grateful to see our three children grow into young adults with happy marriages. To see them out there on their own and happy is what my life has been all about." Then he paused and said, "From here on, anything else is just frosting on the cake." I've thought of these words this Christmas as our four children have been here with us, three of them happily married, and two of them giving Lori and me our four wonderful grandchildren. I'm glad they're grown up now, out on their own and happy. It's what our lives have been about. It's enough, and anything else is just frosting on the cake. Well, in today's scripture reading, you heard Pastor Hammerston read, Jesus is 12 years old. The Gospel of Luke is the only gospel that tells us anything about Jesus's growing up years. And prior to our story for today about Jesus's parents traveling to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover is the other one of these stories, the story of Joseph and Mary, bringing Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to fulfill the requirements of the law for Jesus's presentation and Mary's purification. In that story, we meet two aged saints, Simeon and Anna. Now, Luke tells us that the old man Simeon was righteous and devout, and for many years he had been looking forward to the consolation of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. Luke says the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon, and when the young parents brought in the baby Jesus, the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that this was not just an ordinary baby. In that moment, Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon's prophetic word was then confirmed by an elderly woman named Anna, who also had spent her time in the temple fasting and praying, waiting for the Messiah. All they saw was a baby, but it was enough. Simeon and Anna looked into the child's face, and they knew, they just knew that God was doing a new thing, that the Messiah had come. From that point on, every year, Jesus' parents traveled annually from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the Passover. Whether it was easy or difficult, whether they could afford it or not, even when Mary was pregnant, when their children were very young, and when Joseph had work to get done. They've made this trip every year. I think traditions are an important part of growth for everyone. While some of us may balk or rebel at them, traditions still remain a lifelong point of reference to which we can someday return. English writer G.K. Chesterton once said, "Tradition is the way of giving the past a vote in present decisions. And although it should never be a majority vote, tradition always should have a vote in what we choose to do." In the Jewish tradition, there is a great Passover song sung at the Passover Seder. The song is called Dayenu. The word Dayenu in Hebrew means it would have been enough. The song is about the gifts God gave the Jewish people, and there are 15 stanzas recalling all the gifts God bestowed on Israel. And the words go like this, just a few of the stanzas. If God had only brought us out of Egypt, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If God had only supplied our needs in the wilderness for 40 years, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If God had fed us the manna and had not given us Shabbat, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If God had given us the Torah and had not brought us out of Israel, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If God had brought us into the land of Israel and not built for us the holy temple, Dayenu, it would have been enough. The song celebrates God's gifts by saying that if God had only given one of these gifts, it would have been enough. Each gift of God is precious. All of them together are overwhelming. In today's scripture passage about Jesus and his family traveling to Jerusalem, the 7 days of Passover were fairly routine. It is what happens after Passover that makes the story so interesting. Mary and Joseph forgot Jesus. They left without him. They were more than a day's journey outside Jerusalem before they realized that he was missing. Sounds a little like the movie Home Alone, doesn't it? Anyone who has ever lost a child knows the feeling of panic that brings. The fear, the blaming, the crying, thinking the worst. That's what Mary and Joseph must have felt. But such things do happen, even to the best of parents. And after an agonizing night of worrying and praying, at the break of dawn, they set out for Jerusalem. But it took them another day to get back to Jerusalem, and by the time they got there, it was dark again and too difficult to search for him in the city at night. It wasn't until the next morning, by then the third day, that they were finally able to find Jesus. 12-year-old Jesus was just hanging out in the temple courtyard, talking with the leading religious teachers of Judaism. He was listening and learning and asking questions. Mary spoke for the family in words similar to tens of millions of parents before and after her. Her emotions were mixed with anger and relief as she said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Then Jesus switches the significance of the word father. Mary meant Joseph. Jesus meant God. He knew who he was, the special relationship he had to God, and the direction his life was going. Pastor Rudd and I talked yesterday, and he gave me some insights, and I'm going to quote him here in the next paragraph. In Jesus, God actually finds us. I love that. Right where we are, in our very life, our very flesh and blood. One doesn't have to search for Jesus, or if you do search for him, you can know exactly where to find him. On the cross, in the grave, and in the resurrection, proclaiming, "I am with you always." Jesus, after all, makes known to us who God is, or certainly what the heart of God is for us. Loving, present, forgiving, with us, never letting us go. Our lives are already in God's hands. We don't have to look for Jesus because he's already with us. At this turning point of the new year, think back over your life. What were those times and places, those moments, when the tender compassion of God came close enough for you to see and feel? Who are the people through whom God has touched and shaped your life? When have you known God's presence in some loss or sadness, or some moment of wonder and joy? When has God been there? Well, Christmas is over, and here we are on the last day of 2023, and who knows what the future will bring? Who knows what will happen in any of our lives, our families, among our friends, during the year ahead? Who knows what will happen in our world? My dad said it well that Christmas Day so many years ago. From here on, anything else is just frosting on the cake. The blessings of God were already enough. So whatever's happening in your life right now, wherever you are on this journey of faith, whatever the future holds, whatever your hunger, thirst, or longings, can you say with Simeon, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation"? Can you say, "Thank you, God"? Can you say, "The rest is just frosting on the cake"? So, Happy New Year. Amen.